It's been a little while since I've had the homily, and since the last time we were able to take the all of the generous contributions that many of you had made to the Faith in Flint project, we were able to take those up. Deacon Pat Gorsica from Queens came over with a 6x10 trailer, and we loaded it to the gills. It was a very generous offering from you. I know that many of you gave out of your hearts, and the people in Flint really appreciated it. The center, they said they were just overwhelmed with your generosity and the outpouring of your care. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. So go the opening lines to the Charles Dickens classic, A Tale of Two Cities. It seems as though that's a framework for what we might be experiencing today as a church, because on one hand, we have an abominable abuse and cover-up scandal that has reached high levels in the church, and on the other hand, we have a historic Made for Happiness assembly in our diocese that will occur this Saturday, where we will publicly exalt Jesus Christ in procession from St. Mary Cathedral to the MSU Breslin Center, where an expected 15,000 will be gathered. This is a true historic event for the Diocese of Lansing. Taken together with this crisis and this assembly, it's like a bifurcated look, you know, where our focus is kind of divided. And what do we do with this? How does this come together for us? Well, I think today's gospel addresses this. In a certain way, it brings things into focus, where we are, who we are, what we should be doing. First of all is the question, who do you say that I am, Jesus asked. And Peter is the one that responds with the revelation of God the Father, that you are the Christ. Matthew's gospel adds, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter had this sense and a revealed knowledge of the divinity of Jesus. And at that revelation, even with that sense of revelation, Peter and the others held a somewhat distorted, quite distorted actually, misunderstanding of what this meant, this Messiah term. As you know, the people of Israel lived a history of oppression, of domination by foreign powers, from Egypt to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians, the Philistines, the Hellenists, the Romans, and on and on. The history of their culture was oppression and domination. So it would be natural to think of the restoration of the kingdom as applying to a Messiah of political and military strength and might. And I would suggest that Peter held this notion all the way to the end, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, he brandishes the sword and missed, actually. I think he was going to lop off the head of Malchus, the servant, but he just whacked his ear off. Jesus put away the sword. Again, you're thinking like men think, not like God. And then we come to this great rebuke. Imagine that. It's almost comical. Peter, Jesus, come here. I just want to, you know, get a couple things set straight here. This rebuke, this correction that Peter must have had. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall to have heard that conversation. I kind of imagine Peter working into it gradually, by kind of reminiscing a little bit, you know. You know, Jesus, the first time I met you, I could tell there was something really special about you because, you know, Andrew and I were out fishing all night and we had our boat up at the shore and we were putting the nets, cleaning the nets, and you came by and put your foot in my boat and said, put out for the deep for a catch. And of course, as a professional fisherman, I kind of chuckled inside. What does this guy really know about fishing? But you did. You knew where the deep fish swim, and we came back with this abundant catch. It was so heavy that the boat almost sank. And it was then I saw a glimpse of your divinity in the power of God in you. And it was then that my life was opened up, and I fell to my knees and said, depart from me, a sinful man. You saw into me. You looked into my soul. You knew me, Jesus. And then I decided to follow you, and I left it all on the shore and followed you. And then there was that time, you remember, when you came and we stopped at my house. My mother-in-law was lying sick in bed with a fever, and you touched her, and it was gone. And then I'll never forget, out of all the disciples, that time when you called all the disciples together and you selected 12 of us to be your apostles. And James and John and Andrew and I were chosen. That was really an amazing time. And then I remember that night when we were out without you in a boat on the water, and the squalls came up and the winds blew and the boat rocked and we thought we were going to perish at sea. And then you came out walking before us like a ghost, and you were on the water, and then you said, come on out, and I got out of the boat, and I remember when I kept my eyes on you, I was doing fine, but then when I looked down at the waves and realized how bad this was, I sank. Well, all of us, I want to tell you, Jesus, that all of us here have really been stretched a lot, and we've learned a lot from you as we've walked this way. And we're amazed at what you are doing, and we're amazed at the great things you are going to do for Israel by establishing the kingdom. And that kind of brings me to my main point. We are not going to allow you to suffer at all, let alone greatly, and we're going to fight to the death for you. And we're going to go and explain everything to the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and straighten the record out so that they will understand, too, what you're about. And most of all, we will never let you be killed. We will defend you to the death. Enter Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Satan once before had tempted Jesus to avoid his passion, his suffering, his death in the wilderness. But Jesus faced it head on, and he dealt with that. He agonized in the garden over his impending death, his crucifixion. And he gave in to the will of the Father, as he would. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says Isaiah the prophet, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And here's the essence of what Jesus is telling us on this Catechetical Sunday, where our theme is enlisting witnesses for Jesus Christ. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, says Jesus. Little three-step plan. Lay down your life, pick up the cross, which we all will have, we all do have, and follow Jesus. Now, denying yourself is not the destruction of your life, of who you are. Denying yourself is really putting away of the egocentric, selfish smallness of self that restricts our lives from becoming the fullness of what God has called us to be. It's that image when Jesus comes to us and he knocks on the door of our small, confined life. He wants to enter our lives, and he wants to dine with us. He wants to be with us, and he wants to liberate us from our confined little lives, or prisons in some cases. And he opens that door, enters, and then we are free to follow him as he leaves those confines, and we leave our confines behind. This is the antidote for the situation that we're in today. God is calling us to rise up and follow him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. No doubt about it. And this hymn, "Rise Up, O Men of God," really says it well. And I'm going to quote it. "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, his kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod, as brothers of the Son of Man. Rise up, O men of God." Sometimes hymns preach better than they sing, you know. And so, as Peter heard from Jesus, Jesus spoke to him in this very same context. It's in Matthew's gospel. "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Yes, the church will triumph over the evil that has touched us, and all of the evil that has infected our fallen world. As it has been said, I looked in the back of the book, and we win."